think of calling myself. Okay. So as a student, I used to hear a lot of these talks about letting go. And at that time, I would come to these sessions and I'll feel really inspired during the session as I'm listening to the talk. And I feel like, oh yeah, you know, I'm getting something out of it. But really, when something happened and the attachment arose and I needed to let go, I couldn't. It was like holding on to this and saying, let go, let go. But I'm still holding on. And I used to think, but I understand all of the Buddha's teachings. At that time, I thought I did. And I thought, you know, I understand about the Four Noble Truths. And I understand that with craving and attachment comes suffering. So why am I still holding on? Why am I not letting go? And I used to also think, I understand a pen origination. Okay, I understand the 12 links. Why am I still holding on? And I realised that that kind of understanding is really just a theoretical understanding. It's really about my logical mind going, if this is like that, then that equals to this. But there is no understanding experientially. Within myself, nothing moved. It was all intellectual. And so when I thought about the talk today, what I think I can share with you is rather for you to go away listening to just another talk on letting go, but hopefully today we can share something together where your mind hopefully will move, your heart can open up, and you can really let go. So today, it will be a bit different. There will be more meditation involved. I hope that doesn't scare anyone. But I do also want to put a warning up there as well. When it comes to meditation, it's really about our own practice, okay? So your practice and my practice will be different. Your experience will be different to my experience. So whatever you experience today, it's normal. It's your experience. I've had some sessions where someone came up to me and said that during the meditation they were actually felt quite distressed. But thankfully, after that initial stage, they were able to see through. So I'm going to take you through those different stages. The type of meditation that we do today will actually encourage you to look within yourself and open yourself up a little bit. So give yourself this permission to have this time to yourself. Give yourself this permission to experience whatever comes up for you. And give your friends the experience to do the same, okay? So there's no judgment here. If you feel like you do need to cry or if you feel like something's not working, just sit through it if that's okay, all right? I'll also try to end a little earlier, so if anyone wants to come and talk to me afterwards or ask questions, you can. And if not, then we'll just have an early mark, okay? All right, so let's begin. So sit in a comfortable position. I just want to get a bit of a survey. Has anyone not meditated before? Excellent. That's great, okay. Now, there's different types of meditation as well. Actually, if you don't mind, can we turn up a bit? Because we'll be meditation mode. Yep, thank you. Yep. You won't fall asleep like this, will you? Yeah, maybe a bit lighter. Okay. Yeah, come up. So get into a comfortable position. Whatever works for you. It's best to have your body sitting upright. As if you just imagine a thread running through your body and someone's just holding a thread up there. So you feel upright, your spine's upright. And then once you're in that position, just relax. Okay? And then when you're ready, gently close your eyes. Now in this meditation, I would like you to focus on your meditation object. You can choose what your meditation object is, but once you've chosen, please stick to it. So if you choose to follow your breath, then stay with your breath. If you choose to follow the rise and fall of your abdomen, then stay with the rising and falling. If you choose to recite a mantra, please keep it short and just follow that mantra. Whatever you choose, try and follow through with it from the beginning all the way to the end. Notice where it begins and where it ends. If your mind wanders away, notice that, and then gently bring your mind back to your meditation object. Your meditation object is not just something that you choose because you need to. In meditation, your meditation object is like your best friend. It is your anchor. Whenever things go difficult in your meditation, always come back to your meditation object. I'll be using the breath, but you can replace that with whatever meditation object you have chosen. So, your breath allows you to anchor your mind. It allows you to develop a quality of your mind called equanimity. And I'll be using this word quite often today. Equanimity is the state of your mind where it's calm, where it's free from pushing and pulling, from craving and aversion. Equanimity is a balanced mind. Developing that equanimity, use your meditation object. If pleasant sensation arises, do not crave on it. Simply see it and come back to your meditation object. If unpleasant sensation arises, again, don't create aversion towards it. Come back to your breath. With equanimity, see these sensations as simply sensations, pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Do not add to that experience. Come back to your breath. Let us sit now. Where is your mind now? Are you clear? If you've been distracted, that's okay. Just know that and come back to your breath. If you're feeling drowsy, that's okay. Take deep breaths in and out. And then start again. If you're distracted by sounds, just notice it. It is just a sound. Come back to your breath. If you need to change your posture, before you change your posture, just consider your intention. Do you change your posture knowingly, out of aversion, out of craving? Be mindful if you do change your posture. just looking through your body. How does your body feel after that? That was just 10 minutes. Still got about an hour and a half to go. So when you're ready, just come out of meditation. There are different hindrances to meditation. And one particular hindrance is drowsiness. And being a Friday night, especially when there's not a lot of oxygen in this room, it is there. But please, fight it. Because without it, if you don't fight it, you'll just spend the next hour just sleeping. Okay? And the ways you can do that, if you feel that you're drowsy, open your eyes. Okay, look just immediately in front of you. Open your eyes. And if you feel drowsy, you can also take deeper breaths. If you feel even drowsier, stand up. Okay? No judgment, just stand up. That's fine. Standing meditation. And then after a while, if you feel that you're a bit more refreshed, then you could sit down and continue meditation. If you feel you really need to, you can come over here and you could do some walking meditation, okay? That's a designated space for walking meditation. Again, no shame in it. And in fact, some people, if you feel that, even if it's not about drowsiness, but if you like walking meditation and you find that works better for you, then do walking meditation, okay? That's actually the type of meditation as well. But yes, fight drowsiness if you can. The next stage is I want you to look into your mind and see if there was a recurring thought or feeling that occurred during that meditation for you, besides drowsiness, okay? If there was something else that came up during that meditation for you. And if it didn't, that's okay, but look into you now. Is there a particular attachment that you want to deal with? Because that's the attachment that we'll work with in this talk, in this session. All right? So I'm just going to give you some time. Just think about what kind of attachment you want to work with, because I want to make this real for you, not real for me. I mean, I'll walk out of here, even if I've dealt with it, but so what? So real for you, something close to you that you want to deal with. And for those who have thought of exactly what they want to deal with in terms of their attachment, I want you to define it as much as possible. Make it as specific as possible, because that would make it easier for you. If you've got a few attachments, just choose one. You can always come back and do more meditation. Just choose one. And if you feel your attachment is this big, okay, well then compartmentalize it. Just take out a bit of it. So I don't want something like, well you can if you want, but attachment to my lay life or attachment to my lifestyle or something like that. That may be a bit too much. Or attachment to all material things. That may be a bit too much to bite off at the same go. So maybe just one little one. Just to start with, yeah, and then if it works for you, if this practice works for you, then you could choose something else. Oh, and just for the record, please don't choose attachments to boyfriend and girlfriend. I don't want to be the cause of any breakups. If you want to do that later on. Not here. Okay? Right, so show of hands the people who know what attachment they want to use. All right, a bit more time. Okay. Now, it could be anything. It could be a material thing. So if you happen to have an attachment to LV bags, for example, which is a very expensive attachment, I highly recommend that you deal with that attachment as soon as possible. If you have attachments to particularly harmful relationships, for example... So as a lawyer, I deal with a lot of domestic violence victims, for example. So they know that their relationship is harmful, and yet they're so attached to it, they can't get out of it. So I don't expect anyone to be in that situation. But there are also, certain relationships, friendships that may not be quite useful. But if you feel like you want to deal with that, you can. Emotions are a big one as well, okay? Attachment to emotions. Feelings of grief, of anger. You know, they're all attachments too. Particular thought patterns. That's another one too. It's very subtle, but you don't realise. That's actually an attachment. So as an example, when something happens, sometimes you may worry, for example. You may stress out. You may think the worst. So pessimistic thinking, black and white thinking. Also there's people with low self-esteem. The first thing they'll think of is, it was all about me. I did the wrong thing, etc., etc. Guilt. So there's lots of things you can deal with, lots of different types of attachments. Right, got it? Okay. Right, so show of hands, please. Anyone who's actually got an attachment they can deal with today. Right. You'll have to stick your hand up at the back. Those who've fallen asleep already. We've all got attachments. Do you need a bit more time? All good? All good? Okay, all right. Too bad if you don't. Okay. You'll find something along the way, I'm sure of it. Okay. So when we talk about attachments and letting go, obviously, that's the talk. But you can't talk about letting go if you don't understand attachments. So we start first with attachments, understand what is. Now, in Buddhist circles, we talk about attachments, and the word sort of has a very skewed meaning, okay? So a very popular Buddhist joke is a monk says, I don't do emails because I don't like attachments, okay? Yeah, circulating around Facebook somewhere. But attachments, when we're talking about this, we're really talking about craving. Yeah? Especially craving that continues on and on and on and on. And it becomes a habitual pattern. That's what we're talking about. And even craving, that word itself, the Pali word is tanha. The literal translation of tanha is thirst. It's an unquenchable thirst that we're talking about. We're not talking about just simple attachments. What the Buddha was talking about was like the deep-rooted type of unquenchable thirst. This constant need for something, this constant want, this craving. So the Buddha taught in the Four Noble Truths that suffering exists in our life. And the second noble truth is that the cause of suffering is this tanha, this unquenchable thirst. Think, just reflect back on your day today. How many times did you crave for something? Did you want something that was pleasant? How many times did you want something to stay because it was pleasant? Can you count how many times? Cannot. Because our craving is so quick. So on the one hand, you've got craving for things that you like, things that you want. And on the other hand, you've got aversion. You've got the pushing away, things that you don't want, things that you don't like, things that you don't want to happen, even though it hasn't even happened yet. That's how fear came about. That's how worry comes about. They're all from our attachment, our aversion. And without aversion, but just a respect to others, please turn off your mobile phones. Right. So on the one hand, you've got craving for things you want. On the other hand, you've got aversion for things you don't want. Pleasant, unpleasant. Our lives are constantly filled with experiences and sensations that's pleasant and unpleasant. And how do we react to it? Do you even see how your reactions are? If you slow down the process, what happens is sensations arise in your body to experiences that happen around us and inside of us. And it's either pleasant, unpleasant, or even neutral. And most of the time, we don't even realise what our reactions are because it's habitual. Something pleasant arises. How quickly does desire arise? How quickly does craving arise? When something unpleasant arises, how quickly again does aversion and craving arise? And when things are neutral, when things aren't really good or bad, what happens? Our mind doesn't even see it sometimes. We don't even pick up on it. As an example, our meditation, the untrained mind, with greatest respect, but the untrained mind, when we sit in meditation and we look at our breath, it feels like a neutral sensation. Nothing's happening. Our mind switches off and we go to sleep. Okay, just an example. So part of our practice is recognizing the sensations that arises, our reactions to these sensations, and then putting a gap between what happens and our reactions to them. And that gap is so important because that gap allows us to choose. Do we want to choose to continue our aversion? Do we want to choose to continue our craving? In essence, do we want to choose to continue our attachment? Or do we want to let go? We actually have a choice. And today we're going to explore that choice. So don't believe me. See it for yourself. I hope you do. The type of meditation practice that I'll be sharing with you today is a practice with the acronym RAIN, R-A-I-N. And I actually got this off from Jack Kornfield's book, which is called A Wise Heart. It's a very good book and I recommend it to everyone. And it's a type of practice that's taught in particularly forest traditions. Okay. So RAIN, R-A-I-N. And the idea is, like RAIN, this type of meditation practice, it applies universally to everyone. Just like the rain that washes us, the rain that comes down, applies applicable to everyone. So what does the acronym stand for? R stands for recognize. A stands for acceptance. I stands for investigation. Forgot for a second. And N stands for non-identification. So these are the four processes that we'll go through today. And for those who were here last week for Zen's talk, and he used ROFL, that's a rip-off of this. No, it's his version of this, okay? But see, the one that I want to use today is RAIN, R-A-I-N. So we'll be going through each of these four stages. Now, I should also say right at the beginning, the last time that I led this, I had quite an interesting experience afterwards when people came and talked to me and they shared different experiences. And it's not unusual for you, especially at A, right, acceptance or recognise, to feel a bit emotional, okay? It's fine. But bear with it because we will get to the sunny days in I and N, all right? Okay. So, are we ready? Yeah, okay. One thing as well I want to say is there's two ways about it. After each letter, each section, we can have a break. Or we can sit through it. I would much rather we sit through it because it gives you an easier flow right? Because once you're in that frame, it's easier for you then to move on to the next one. But we will see how we go, all right? Because if I'm feeling that people need a bit of a break, or especially if people are going like this, then I'll need to wake you up a bit, all right? But for those who can, just sit through it, all right? Even when I ring the bell, just sit through it. Doesn't matter. Even if you're feeling tired, if you hear the bell, take deep breaths and start again. That's the important thing. But having that flow of meditation is actually really important. Okay. Before I start, any questions about meditation before I go on? No? All right, good. Right, so let's begin again. So sit in a comfortable position. There is more room on the floor if you wish. If you're in your chairs, you can sit cross-legged. But the important thing is to sit upright and relaxed. Give yourself that confidence. I'm confident that I'm going to sit here and I'm going to meditate. I'm going to make this worthwhile. Your own time, just close your eyes. Taking deep breaths, drawing your mind inwards, looking into yourself. We spend most of our day looking outwards at others. Now is the time for us to be with the important person, us. As your mind quietens, slowly bring up the attachment that you want to deal with. Recognize it. Hold it in your mind's eye, at arm's length, not right in front of you, but at arm's length. As if it isn't your attachment, as if it's someone else's attachment, someone else's problem. Hold it there. See it. Define it. Make it clear what it is. Seeing the attachment, see also your reaction to it. Do you react to it with craving, with wanting? Or do you react to it with aversion, with anger, with frustration, with worry, with stress? If these feelings arise, it's okay. It is just the habit of your mind. You are used to reacting in this way. Any emotions that arises, any feelings or thoughts, keep them also at arm's length. Recognize it, but don't own it. They're not yours to own. if the attachment or your reactions become unclear, that's okay. Start again. Bring it to your mind again. Even if it takes a few times. If judgment arises, see it and give yourself permission to let that judgment go. Because the next process is acceptance. Acceptance here doesn't mean just to take it. Doesn't mean to accept this attachment and make it your own. It's not validating this attachment. Acceptance here means an equanimous acceptance. Accepting that the attachment has arisen in you. That's okay. Using your equanimous mind, your balanced and detached mind, look at this attachment as if it is external to you, yet at the same time accepting it and not pushing it away with aversion, nor clinging to it with craving and desire. Just breathe. So this is a stage when you open up. This is a stage where you tell yourself the attachment has arisen. It's okay. And you open yourself up to it. Because the moment you push away your attachment, you're creating an attachment to an attachment. It will never end. So give yourself this time and space to open up to whatever your experience arises, without judgment, without reservation, without fear, without attachment. Take a deep breath if you will. Start again. So what we've done is we've passed through recognizing and acceptance. It's like building the proper foundation. You need the foundation before you can start building the walls. And so it's important that you have this proper foundation as to what your attachments are. And the equanimity that you develop in these two stages are important because you need that equanimity for the third stage. The third stage is much longer because the third stage requires you to investigate into this attachment. And how we investigate is really to look at it for what it is, at arm's length, without adding to it. Because the next stage is so important, I would like to call a break. So for those who would like to go for a walk, please do, because when we come back, it will be a much longer sit. Okay, if you need to stretch your legs, this is also a good time too. Thank you. And it also means if you have any questions, you can ask me now before we move to the next stage. Whatever you do, do it mindfully.
Okay. So